Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Well, I thought you were unhappy because they used the term granny panty. Because you're not a granny, but you love the granny panty aesthetic. Excuse a lot me? Of your panties are like granny panties.
Describe a granny panty, because this granny is well into her 60s.
I know.
And she got 60.
That's why we need to stop saying granny panties.
So so you mean like bucket underwear?
Yeah.
Like, describe my underwear.
I mean, it just covers way too much.
Got it.
Like, so, that's like, you know, or they just look like, there's a lot of stains on them.
You a motherfucking liar. You see, now this is what men need to stop having podcast fights. Hello there. Our house is a mess. Come on in. Welcome to another episode of Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. We are joining you from Atlanta, Georgia. Cue the gunshots, man. This is a hot mess. We apologize to all those ATLians, but you know what? I'm not sorry. One of y'all motherfuckers broke into my daddy's car and stole all of his obituaries from his suitcase. How dare you? That was a reference to a joke.
And also, like, gun violence affects us all. Not just ATL. It's a rural issue.
Oh, you know? It can be quite a rural issue, but our show is not about gun violence. It is a podcast about dating, parenting, and recording it all for the world to see. Been glad to have as you can hear, we are still in Atlanta with this lovely sound machine. And Ben, make sure you catch every single time I throw to you to fire them shots during the episode, right?
I think it's like,
got it. You're not much of a gun man, are you?
No.
Would you ever go to a gun range, just like even on a date?
With you, yeah. But
with who else would you be going with?
I don't know.
Your other girlfriend?
Lots of people, lots of bitches want to date me. Lots of dicks want to get up in this ass.
Ah, fire, yeah. I do love that. I like how much I love that.
I know. I'm a dateable kind of guy.
So
but the gun range.
We
is
just
not
talked
the place.
About how you're not the catch. Remember, Simone Biles?
Still going.
Man, cut them crickets off.
Sorry,
Don't cut this, Daniel. You want to get into the show, baby?
Heck yeah, cricket.
The first segment of our show is called Hashtag Influenced.
It's time for the hashtag Influenced.
Ben.
Yes, ma'am.
There is a lovely older woman that is going viral right now. We will tag her information in the show notes because it is not here, but I sent you the episode. We'll tag it here. But there's this old woman, perhaps she's a grandma, but she has gray hair. She's been married to her man for like 42 years, I want to say 42 years. And she has been showing that the way that she has been keeping her man is by doing sexy lingerie, keeping it sexy, keeping it spicy.
That's how you keep a man is like, be sexy.
That's how she's been keeping her man happy. And you can clearly tell that she loves being sexy. And because I've liked this video, now several videos have been coming down my timeline of like very happily married older black women that have been loving and showing the girls how to seduce their man. And of course, in the comments, people are making jokes. And then it was like, not the granny panties being crotchless, all of this dialogue. And it didn't sit well with me because we hate growing older and age. And this woman is telling you how she stays happy, how she stays horny. And she's kind of being shamed for it. Maybe I've been reading The Sex You Want too much, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I thought you were unhappy because they used the term granny panty. Because you're not a granny, but you love the granny panty aesthetic. Excuse a lot me? Of your panties are like granny panties.
Describe a granny panty, because this granny is well into her 60s.
I know.
She got 60.
That's why
laced.
We need to stop saying granny panties.
So you mean like bucket underwear?
Yeah.
Like, describe my underwear.
I mean, it just covers way too much.
Got it.
Like, so, that's like, you know, or they just look like, there's a lot of stains on them.
You a motherfucking liar. You see, now this is what men need to stop having podcast mics. Ben, what kind of panties would you like me to wear? What kind of panties are you attracted to?
No, I like the panties that I can remove easily.
Okay. You can remove bucket underwear easily.
Yeah, I know. That's why I like them. They're just as sexy to me.
What underwear are difficult to remove?
The ones that come with chains. There's like those chains underwear. You ever see those? There's like a lock. You gotta like lock it.
Like a chastity belt?
Yeah, those are crazy.
And I wear those.
No, I'm just saying, I'm glad you don't.
Got you. What kind, like, get specific. Is there a certain color of underwear that you like?
I mean, lace for me always, because I know that's what I'm supposed to like, but lace for me always reminds me of really nice curtains.
Lace?
Yeah, like the...
Oh, like the doilies.
The doilies. I'm like, I'm not going to, I mean, I'm going to eat down there, but I'm not going to eat a plate down there. You know what I mean?
Ah. So why don't you describe to me what panties you like, darling? Because that's why it's hard to get a read.
I like what color? I like
the sheer. You know, like those sheer.
I like the really tight panties that just show a little bit of the butt crack, not a little bit of the cheeks. They like hike up a little bit. They're like
the cheeksters.
Yeah, they're like you could like exercise in them. I love watching you exercise.
Oh, they look like a booty short.
Yeah, I like a little booty short.
But they're like if you took a bucket underwear and cut it.
I actually prefer my women not having any panties and just wear some shorts.
Like boxer shorts or like Sophie shorts.
Yeah, no, like the running shorts, the little cute running shorts.
So you like commando with like
the a little yoga. Tease. I like the yoga thing.
So I'm like when I wear yoga pants, but I underwear. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
But
most of your yoga pants have holes in them, so we have to update your. You know that's true, Amber.
What's funny is that your underwear all have holes in them.
No, I've updated some. I went through and I got some new ones.
You have Marvel underwear. I do have some poop stains. That ain't making me. That ain't making my eyes roll in the back of my head either. Thinking about Deadpool. Your little cartoon underwear.
Deadpool and Spider-Man don't turn you on?
No, they don't.
Oh.
I would like a nice boxer brief. I would like a gray sweatpant energy. Speaking of going commando, you know, like when men wear the gray sweatpants and you can see the little imprint.
When men do it? Yeah. It bulges out. Like a tight jean. Remember that Rolling Stone album cover?
Yeah.
You ever see that?
Was it like the Wranglers? What were they?
They were like jeans, but you could see his hard on just sticking out.
Right. See, that's the energy. Would you ever go commando? Are you currently commando? You're not. If you are commando, it's typically because the underwear have so many holes in them that it's created one big crotch.
It's because I haven't washed them. Because
your underwear are crotchless as well, but they weren't bought like that. But why isn't it okay for this old lady to be sexy? Do you think older people being sexy is like because this is the culture being rude?
Yeah, I think a big part of it stems from this idea that we still think sex is for having kids. And when you're older, you can't have kids anymore. So it's this idea that you shouldn't be having sex for pleasure. Because the only reason old folk are having sex is for pleasure.
Right. Yeah, because it's no longer about the kids. No longer about like, oh, you're new and it's exciting. Mm-hmm. It's like... some good old boning.
And also, I think we've talked about this before, but I think our culture just doesn't like the idea of getting old.
I know, you know, like I've been seeing...
A lot of the models are younger and such. And, you know, Leo doesn't like getting old, right? 25 is his max age.
We'll get to Leonardo DiCaprio later in the show.
We will get to him.
It makes me sad. Sometimes I'm scrolling on TikTok and I'm seeing this, like... older people filter. Like there's this one filter that's going pretty viral right now where people will like do it and it slowly ages you, and obviously like as it ages you more, people are like laughing and they're like, ew, like look how disgusting and gross I look, and how those things play into like also people thinking old people are disgusting and gross and put them in a home and put them away, and like that one filter obviously is what drives that narrative. But like think about how that would feel if like it was a filter where you were gaining more weight, or if it was a filter where you were getting darker or whatever.
I'm laughing because you recently did help an older family member.
Did I?
get into her car and
oh my God. Ben, See, you are so petty. I'm going to make you talk about your family at some point in this episode. Yeah, let's talk about.
Sometimes, okay, there are certain things about growing older is gross, right? But also babies are gross. Babies shit themselves and piss themselves. And we're like, oh, that's cute. We tolerate it. And then older people shit and piss themselves. and we make fun of them.
I did recently help an elder who was a little overweight. She's losing some mobility issues. She's on her walker, and I helped her. And she looked like she could get into her car on her own. And I saw her at the holiday event struggling to get into her car on her own. So I get her into her car, and I'm trying to, like, she's just saying to me, like, can you help me just, like, lift my one swollen leg into the car with the other swollen leg? And Ben is horrible and going to hell, which we knew, but really for this reason right here. I'm lifting the woman's, my elder's leg into the car, and it's just, it smells so foul down there and in the car as a whole that I was nearly knocked unconscious. And I made eye contact with my sister, who was like over the way, and I was like, that car just smells like piss.
So
that car smells really bad.
One of the things that could have helped you with that, though, and we'll get back to, you know,
and Ben is aging. Now laughing at my elder, which was
no. Why are old people gross? And I'm like, well, some old people are gross, and that's just the nature. When you get older, you can't take care of yourself in the same way. But in the same way, I know people get so drunk that they shit on themselves, and these people are like 20 years old. And but we tolerate that. It's like, oh, they're doing dumb things or whatever. But when old folk do it, it's gross because they're seen holistically as gross. But also, I want to say, if you got it
older, like it's the that filter on TikTok, right?
They're like, yeah,
like it's not.
We're scared
about
of dying.
Shitting and pissing. It's about liver spots and teeth not being like blinding white anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is the stuff that people are like laughing at because it's so repulsive and it's so disgusting. And that's the stuff that makes me sad for our elders, because they're allowed to feel beautiful and feel sexy too.
Right. Which is, you should never marry anybody for looks. That's the big thing. You have to love their hearts. You have to love who they are as a looks? Person. They were a benefit. It's like the icing on the cake, but your looks are not the whole cake. Okay. It's your personality, that beautiful smile. Your smile is never going to, like, it's going to age beautifully.
My teeth might fall out, man.
I'm okay. You can get dentures.
Got you.
Like, that's okay. I'm okay with that. I do want to say, though, and then we can move on. I think our ability to, in that situation, it would have been helpful is if we had a cat, because you can't really get bothered by pee smell when you have the kitty litter in your house. You just become normalized by it.
That's disgusting.
So that's something that is another reason. I'm constantly trying to get Amber to get a cat. And so I'm adding this to the plethora of reasons.
So I'll be desensitized to the smell of old piss.
Exactly, because eventually both of us are going to be old piss.
Well, I was going to take care of both of us.
I hope so.
Oh my God. You want to move on to the next? Yeah. Speaking of wow, the next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent.
Ben. That's my baby. Don't overdo it. I hope somebody like listening to this in their car isn't about to freaking crash, or they're like listening at the gym and now they're like, God, I've just dropped my weight. Sorry, listeners out there. Let us know how you responded to those. But today we're actually going to talk a little bit less about our parenting style and more about some estate planning that we have been doing.
Oh, yes, we did.
So Ben actually, you know, drunkenly started this conversation. So Ben, get into like what estate planning is and how you started this conversation.
So when you get old,
over a cup of Hennessy,
when you get old, you die. And when you die, you leave things behind. And so both of our parents are still alive. And so we need to make sure that estate planning is in order, things like that. But also, when your grandma died, there was a lot of things that your father and mom had to pick up. And that was, they did it very well, very gracefully, but it was sort of stressful.
Very.
And we don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Like, well, my grandfather died years before my grandmother. My grandmother passed away like maybe at the top of the pandemic, I want to say. And my grandfather died like many years before her. And to this day, my dad still cannot find his life insurance policy or any of that. So all of those costs for his funeral were like out of my parents' pocket because he did not have that set up. And he had horrible health. Like, this was a situation where it's like, why didn't you get this done? And my dad shared with me, like, back in the day, people used to go, like, door to door selling you these, like, dirt cheap insurance policies that, like, ultimately amounted to nothing. And so there's a huge generation, sound off if this is your grandparents as well, there's a huge generation of our grandparents that bought life insurance policies that just, like, suck, or this company eventually went bankrupt and didn't, like, update the people who bought these. Like, so, like, that were just essentially scammed. And I definitely think my grandfather was one of those people. That's why my dad had to end up paying the money.
So, yeah, so we ended up talking a little bit about that. But also what will happen, and your father was sharing that recently a family member died and there was a lot of problems with splitting up. Like, so when you have multiple, as a parent, one of the things about being a good parent is making sure that you leave things behind for your kids. So your father was sharing one of more of his, like, you know, emotionally vulnerable moments after, you know, a couple of glasses of brandy or Hennessy about this, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I brought up, like, hey, let's not do that. Let's actually pool our resources together and remodel your grandma's kitchen and rent that out. And then after that, let's actually buy a house. All the siblings, let's buy a house in your parents' neighborhood. So that your brother and his girlfriend can move in with their two kids now, you know?
Right. And then my late grandmother does have a house that payments are still being made on that, but now we're trying
I think, like, the rest is very, you know, I think the mortgage is probably about $300 a month or something.
It's
ridiculous. It's like $200 or something. Mm-hmm. Cheap. And so they're almost paying that off. So I was like, hey, Amber and I can actually invest in that home and update it. So we're going to update that home. So we talked to created this whole phase, and I said, let's update that home, rent it out, and use that rental money, because it's going to be straight income, use that rental money for a mortgage for another home that we can all put into. Mm-hmm. So your sister was down. She's like, your sister's sort of starting her career, so she could put some money for a down payment on a new home. Me and you could cover the down payment on a new home. And your brother...
In Athens, Georgia.
Georgia. Because
we're
LA. Like,
we're not going to be able to afford a home in LA.
Yeah, it's just a less risky investment. So we were talking amongst us. And as we're talking, your father ended up having all this fear. He's like, well, I wonder if you guys start fighting over this. Wonder if,
like,
you guys.
Us three kids.
Us, the three kids. I was like, and then at one point, I was like, yeah, we're going to, you know, give you this money so you can remodel your grandma's home. And he's like, you know, it's still my home. And, you know, and I was like, yeah, honestly, if you wanted to sell that home and use that money to take, you know, because one of his bucket lists, we were talking about bucket lists, because we recently had your family friend passed away. And it was just so sad. It was a very sad Christmas in a lot of ways. And we were talking about this, and I was like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you wanted that grandma's home is still for you, but we're giving you this money. So that you can...
He's very distrusting of just goodwill and good faith,
Because he's seen it in his own family.
Yes, he has.
Siblings who are fighting. And I think as a parent, you sort of want to create this idea of family. And not only family is something that you go and have Thanksgiving dinners with, but family is family where you go and do investments with. Amber and I have been watching The Sopranos, and The Sopranos, they have, but that's, they
a
build
different family.
They build business. A family business. Though.
They do.
Family is business as well, right?
Right.
And it's this idea: why are we cutting ourselves out? Your sister, Amber's sister, Alicia, has money, and your brother has money. We have money. We should pool together.
If we pool
and
our resources. Yeah.
Like Amber and I can't afford a mortgage down here, but we can help with a down payment.
Right.
And then
I think it helped a lot that you, like, started this conversation because, like,
I created a whole phase. I was like, phase one, remodel grandma's house. Phase two, get renters in that house. Phase three, buy another home and use that income use the rent to pay off the other one. Phase four, buy another, like, smaller condo and ATL for your sister.
And my sister's boyfriend was in there. He was like, my family would never have a conversation like this. Like, he was kind of just witnessing, like, it really opened my eyes to, like, wow, like, people's families are really not talking about, like, what comes next. Maybe out of fear, maybe out of trauma, because, like, I think I've been thinking a lot about how we've talked about this in the past, and another creator said this, but, like, how the relationships between siblings, like, if that is fractured, it is mostly in part due to poor parenting.
Yeah.
And I think my dad grossly underestimates how good a job he did fostering kinship between myself, my brother, and my sister.
Didn't y'all like equally hate him at one point?
Right. we had a common enemy when we were kids. But
he took you all to church. He took you all to, I think church was a huge glue to your family.
For sure.
In a communal way, less of a religious way.
Yeah.
That's the more I hang out with your family, your parents are religious and they are Christians. But I'm seeing that church plays so much more as a communal aspect.
Correct. Right? Yes. Which is why I'd be like, why are we dogging this, Ben? This is like a refuge for a lot of people in more ways than like just like a holiness space. This is like, this church fellowship hall is where people got married and had their baby and like fell in love, or like the church was like, it's okay for you to get a divorce, like all of these things.
But I'm saying that I think your dad forgets how well his kids love each other.
And I definitely also, like, obviously, you know, I live the furthest from home. Like, both of my siblings still live in Georgia, and we, you know, have different beliefs about certain things. But like, you know, like when it comes to like financial interests and just like being there, like I definitely am like very close with my siblings in that. And I feel like sometimes even I'll talk to you, and maybe it's because you're a boy and you have three sisters, but that's why I'm sometimes like, call your sister, like call your mama, you know, like I'm trying to like nudge you to be, to grow those strongholds with your sisters too. Like, I feel like some of your sisters, obviously you're like, you could be really, really close with, but like, do you feel like you and your sisters would feel comfortable having a conversation like this?
No, I don't think we would. I don't think my parents fostered community in the same way. They fostered religion, but it was always like a personal religion. It was like a personal relationship with Jesus Christ instead of a communal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't really understand. In some ways, I understand what community was, but there was a lot of like in-out crowding in the sense like, you know, you're a part of this homeschool group because the rest of the world is evil. You're being homeschooled because Christian schools are evil. It was a us kind of them mentality.
Right.
And I think that sort of leaks into other aspects of your life. So
yeah. Did you ever, I don't know. And also because I'm asking you this again, because like you're the only boy in your family. So were there ever times where your sisters were like, no, take care of your little brother, like help him get dressed or like,
no,
help him
do the things? I didn't get that. I think I got specialized treatment in a lot of ways.
Because you were the boy.
I was the boy. I think Aaron, your brother, got some specialized treatment, maybe a little bit, maybe some double standards, probably, but
Aaron's just so different. But he's like really. The kid that's like going to sneak out.
But
like,
also, I'm just never going to really be that kid. Your mom sort of giving, your mom's not very a specialized kind of treatment kind of person. She's going to be strict in general with all of you, or just, your parents were just not, your parents, first of all, were just not as restrictive. Like your mom took you to go see Titanic, which we'll talk about in a second, but took you to go see Titanic as a kid. That blew me away.
Yeah, like as because of the draw me like your French girls scene?
Yeah, the whole set. It just, sexuality was very different.
Yeah.
You know, so your parents, so we can't really have these kinds of conversations. Unfortunately, I don't think my family's in a financial position to even discuss these kind of situations where all your family is in some sense, all your siblings have income coming in, where not all my siblings are able to work because of, you know, mental illness and such. So we can't have those kinds of conversations, unfortunately.
Got you. Do you think at some point you are going to be, because, and I'm I'm not trying to be like mean or intrusive, but because your parents didn't foster that, do you think that those relationships will stay the course that they're on? Or do you think you're going to be like, they didn't foster it, so let me sort of like step into this role?
Yeah, I have, because I have my sister Nick and Tirza, and I've brought it up. Like, Nick is very interested. I brought up like, hey.
I mean, this is your brother-in-law, right?
This is my brother-in-law. And because Tirza just accepted her first nursing job, and it's a good paying job for where she's at. And I think, you know, if at one point they're like, you know, we could use some support in getting a down payment on the home, I would want to do that for them.
Got you.
Right?
Yeah.
And I've talked about it. It's like, yo, if I could help you, I brought this up to both of them, and they said they weren't interested in buying real estate right now. They're young. They want to travel. But I was like, yo, If y'all want to get a home, Amber and I can help you with a down payment, and we can invest that together. And when you want to sell it, you want to retire, we just split it, right? You just end up creating wealth that way. Or if you want to get a new home, mm-hmm. you start renting it out, we split the rent or whatever.
It's giving Ben Soprano.
I would love to. I love it. I love it. Because I don't have to kill anybody. But I love this. I've been so watching The Sopranos, though. And I leave that. I was like, I love the way they love family in that. And there's a lot of toxicity as well.
Just a little bit.
But I think there is a level of familyness and tension that I don't envy because...
Because I'm saying, like, even with my conversation, you started that. And of course, like, you know, we earn money in a pretty interesting way. But I think you do a really good job, like, managing finances. And, like, you know, I don't know shit about stocks and stuff like that. Like, you'd like to talk about CDs and stuff like that. And you need that person. And I think it really just meant a lot to my father that you, like, started that conversation. Will he let somebody rent out his mama's house? Probably not. But at least we talked as a family about like
We're in the process of upgrading it now. So that's exciting.
That is exciting. So stay tuned. If you need a spot to stay in Athens, Georgia, my grandma's house might be on the market soon. Once again, I just feel like my dad's going to be the worst landlord, though. He's going to pop up every other day just to make sure the grass is
we
cut.
We would not let him be the landlord. I'm like, if you rent it out, you can't go there anymore.
If you rent out that house, my daddy gonna be peeking through your bushes every other day just to make sure his childhood home.
That's why. And then we brought it out. We find a cousin. You got a lot of great cousins that you have great relationships with, and some of them live in Athens. So I was like, you get a cousin to go in there,
right? He only wants to rent it to family, probably.
which is fine. Your dad's not gonna live forever, you know. Just kidding. I'm joking.
Crickets now. Crickets down. Don't do the gunshots. So I was like, just make sure you don't press the wrong one. God,
I'm joking, damn. Mr. Thomas. I love
hit the,
you.
Hit the, your dad's not going to live forever.
That's so fucked
this,
up.
This podcast is going to be right. Rated.
Damn. I love your dad so much. I really like drinking.
Not you putting a hit out on my dick. Not being Soprano. All right, baby. You ready to move on to our next segment?
Yeah. What are we talking about?
The next segment of our show is called the I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships. I do. Once again, let's get into our first question. I see living with a toxic family member. Let's go.
Hey, Amber and Ben, I love y'all so much. I'm going to try to make this quick because I just tried to do another message and it cut me off. But this has been happening over 4 years. It's kind of deep. It's with my literal family. So long story short, we all moved into a house in Atlanta in 2019, right before quarantine happened. We just recently moved out this year in November to our own spot, and we dropped a few people along the way. The people in question are my uncle and my cousin. My cousin is 26. He's a well-capable adult. But throughout over the years of us being in the family house, he wasn't pulling his weight. We almost got evicted a few times. My uncle is in denial about the fact that my cousin needs mental help. He needs to literally be on medication. This isn't something therapy can fix. So anyway, all the years of no accountability, and he literally has got into it with everybody in the house, his father included. And so this past Christmas, his dad, he moved to Austin for a job. He's visiting for the holidays. For Christmas, his dad wanted to come over, and we told him that my cousin was not allowed in our house. So my uncle hit the roof, of course, because he feels like everybody's been ganging up on his son when his son has literally been the problem these past 4 years. He has been the cause of every issue we've ever had. So my question is, should we try to mend the relationship with my uncle? Because as of right now, it's no. It's nothing there because he will not let his son be held accountable for the things that he's done to us. So should we try to mend the relationship with my uncle, or should we just let it go until he gets my cousin the help that he needs and is willing to accept the fact that he needs help? And we are not forced to deal with him if we don't want to anymore because we're not in the same house anymore. So, it's a little deep, but any opinion would help. Thanks, guys. Love you guys. Hey, Wild.
She said, hey, Wild.
I think we really need to get Wild on the horn to get her opinion about this. This was a great question.
And so relevant to what we just talked about.
Very.
Like pooling resources as family, but the family has to be committed to that. And you have to have that trust there. There's no trust here. So what do you think? Like, should they be the one to reach out the olive branch to the uncle?
I think that if this was my family, I have had to, I will be honest, I have had to sit my family down and have some very difficult conversations. I'll be vague, but a little clear. But one time I had to confront a family predator, and I had to like really poll all the women in my family to be like, who else? Like, this happened to us. Okay, I'm going to say something. Like, enough is enough. Like, we're not just going to sit at a cookout and pretend like this is like shit is sweet. And so I, and my mother was really helpful in leading the charge on that discussion, which was very great for our relationship. And I say that to say, if my mother hadn't had have been so supportive and believing me and the other women in my family, we would have a very different relationship today. And I think, obviously, this is not the same situation, but I think your uncle is either like similarly, enabling. Your uncle is in denial about the problem and victim blaming the problem.
Like, and enabling
and
this
enabling
guy
the
to
problem.
Keep on doing
yes.
These things.
So if I would have tried to confront the family person that needs, you know, additional guidance, if I drew my line in the sand about like this person cannot be around me in my home and our whatever, and somebody would still be like, well, no, he didn't. He doesn't need that. He didn't. I don't think I could continue the relationship with my uncle until he came around to the fact that, like, you know, your son has broken these bridges. And it's like, well, and if you're riding for him that hard, you live with him. We're not trying to call you a bad parent. Go ahead, baby.
I was just saying that I think the uncle needs to be the one to repair the harm, because the uncle is the one that brought the cousin into the world, who's not, you know, trying to help his son get the help he needs. And so it has caused enormous amount of hurt and frustration. And it's,
yeah, but they don't want to accept. And similarly, I'm like calling, I'm using my family situation as a reference point here. Like, sometimes they don't want to do that, because admitting that is accepting some blame and compliance with everything.
But the issue is that this person was not invited to the holidays. The uncle got upset, but the uncle knows that his son is damaging and toxic and shouldn't be around other family, right, and is throwing a fit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you're right.
We should be the one throwing a fit that you would even suggest that we have this person over. This person is no longer invited to our home.
Yeah.
And I think people have to do that. And it's hard to do that with family, and it's sort of a cycle. But I know for sure my mom has brought my older sister around, and that older sister has done great harm to the family and continues to do that. But my mom will say things like, all right, I won't try to reach out to her because I know it's harmful, but she's a mom. And so she still does it. And every time she does it, she opens herself up for even more pain and more hurt.
Right.
And so my mom just has to stop and cut that relationship off with her daughter in a lot of ways. And it's really hard for my mom. But my mom knows that's the right thing to do. So, but the uncle doesn't even know what the right thing is.
Right.
And I think that's different.
Or do you think it's, you know, to Simone Biles, like, you know, this isn't right, but maybe you're trying to save face, because if you admit my husband's a fucking idiot,
I don't know.
It means you're an idiot a little bit.
I think people, we are great at deluding ourselves of reality. I think we create alternate realities all the time throughout the world of what people are saying to us or who the villains are. We do that all the time. I think we humans are really good at creating stories.
But in this situation, what happens is, and I've tried to explain this to you in the past, like, parents especially see their children as direct reflections of them. That's why when we do something that is in conflict with, like, if I do something different from what my mom would do. She's kind of very confused because she's like, that is in direct violation with what I would do. And they're not understanding. Like,
well, that's something you got to work through.
Right. But I'm saying this uncle is seeing his son as a reflection of him. So he's basically saying, like, to say this person has mental problems is to say I have mental problems. To say this person is acting a fool is to say that
you're not even listening to what they're saying.
Exactly.
And that's my, and then in that case, you shouldn't be the one reaching out the olive branch. If this person is so delusional that they can't understand why you wouldn't want that cousin over because they've done terrible things, not only to their father, but to everyone who was supposed to be pulling their weight on you know, providing for this home, and that you almost got this family evicted.
Evicted is crazy.
And because of what craziness was going on, you know, like, I shouldn't say crazy, but just sort of the absurdity that you brought, like, you don't have to give an olive branch. That person needs to get their shit together and do the olive branch to you. They need to come with contrition and repentance. And until they do that, you don't do anything. You just continue cutting them off.
And I want to, like, of course, we're only having the ear of the listener right now. To the listener, you're doing the right thing. Like, stand your ground on making sure that this person does not come around you. Don't second guess, like, well, maybe I should invite them. Like, no. Stand your ground. You're doing all the right things. And, like, keep your boundary because... Keep your boundary. One more time, Ben. You doing the right thing. Like, this, somebody who almost got me evicted, I don't want to see you again. I don't want to see your family member. I don't want to see your kids. Exactly.
No, don't do that.
don't shoot him. All right, let's get into the second call.
Hi, Amber and Ben. My name is Alyssa. Wait, I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that or not. But I just want to say that me and my mom absolutely adore y'all. We call y'all her, like, little family. But anyways, that's besides the point. I'm calling today for some advice. I currently live with my dad and my stepmom. And my stepmom just recently quit her job out of nowhere. And so my dad has now been putting more pressure on me to pay more bills and stuff when he told me from the beginning that I would not have to pay any bills living here. And he also owes me $2,500. So my question to y'all is, should I stay living with them or should I leave while I'm still ahead and just have him to send me my money later on? Thank you so much. Love all of y'all. Thank you again. Bye.
The families are not family in today.
On that fuck shit, as Amber says.
But Ben's been standing on business. Ben Soprano, what you got for her? You go first.
Oh, you want me to go? Okay. Oh, well, you see. I don't know. Fat Tony don't like that. That's a terrible accent. So the way I would go about doing this, okay, is that he did it. You can't trust the man's word anymore, you know? He went back on his word. He said, you can live with them. And now he says, now you got to pay me for nothing. It's fucking ridiculous.
I don't like it, Tony.
You don't like it.
Tony, get over here.
Get over here. So my opinion is, one, you're not going to see your $2,500 back. All right. You're not going to see it.
You're not going to see the money all back, right? Tony.
No. It's not. Because in his mind, you've been living there rent free. All right. Rent free. Okay. In his mind, you know. It's like, this is what I do for you. You don't appreciate me as your daughter, as your father. You know, it's fucking bullshit. So my opinion is you can't trust this man anymore, even though he's your father. But also,
he's
fuck
your
him.
Father.
Fuck him. Fathers are fucking idiots. I was watching a TV show recently, and the daughter made her father's car crash because the father was an abusive piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
So that's my opinion as Ben Soprano. I don't know. Ugh, I need gruntier.
I just don't understand. Like, it sucks so bad when parents are in that roommate phase with you where you can't tell me what to do anymore because we're all contributing to the bills. We're all, like, you told me I should live here to save money, and now she quits her job and things should change for me. Like, I need a heads up. If we're going to treat this like a roommate dynamic, I need a heads up. Yeah. I need, like, hey, as of January 1st, 2024, we need you to start contributing to rent. Like, and if I agree with that, cool. If I don't, I don't. I cannot even though I personally, let me tell you how stupid I am, and then I'll go from there. I was born and raised in Athens, Georgia, and my parents have a 5-bedroom home in Athens, Georgia, and I went to the University of Georgia, which is in Athens, Georgia. As in, I could have been saving money for room and board all 4 years of college, and I still chose to live on campus, take out loans to pay rent, because I did not want to be at my mama's house every night. Now, was that a waste of money and stupid in the long term? Absolutely. But I
100% disagree with
because
you.
I needed a social life. Yeah, I needed space.
It was stupid. I think you going out of state for a college would cost even more. So you stayed in state.
Would.
That was a smart decision. You stayed in your hometown. So I'm sure you did go home.
Yep.
You were able to.
I went home every Sunday for dinner.
For meals. Exactly. So every Sunday, Amber, I mean, that's great. And I think you needed to declare some of your independence. I don't think it was stupid. It was just not maybe financially savvy. But
right.
The sanity, right? You could have lost.
You can't put a price.
Health. You could have developed more mental health issues. Like, you don't know what could have actually happened.
You can't put a price on peace of mind. And not that my mom's house is like crazy or anything, but she likes her clutter. She likes her figurines. She likes her things, and there's stuff everywhere. And I just needed to become a self-disciplined adult and wash my own dishes and do my own laundry. And I needed my own space. I wanted to be grown. I wanted to bring somebody home and not have to worry about curfew or disrespect. You know, my daddy, who is that nigga on my couch? You know, I don't want to deal with all of that late into the night. So
and also like sex.
That's what I was referring to.
Oh,
Right. But I would advise that you move out of your folks' house just in general, so you don't maybe.
No, I'm saying the sound of sex. Like
the sound of my parents having sex.
No, the sound of your father having to hear his little daughter getting smashed.
Right,
that would have been hard for him.
I feel like I was alluding to that.
I think it's funnier the way I said it.
His little daughter getting smashed.
Yeah, I could not. Nope, Wild cannot stay with us. She could go to if we're in LA, and she's. I do not want to hear any smashing.
I mean, hell fucking no. I told you, she's got to learn how to, you know, have fun in cars like we all did.
No. We're just leaving the house.
I'm not leaving my house so my daughter can have fun with whoever she brought home. No, you sound great. You're too LA now. No.
Nah. Fine, we'll get her own little house. But I don't want her paying rent. She's got
a little smash house.
A little, yeah.
You sound crazy right now. No.
When she's in college.
If she wants to be grown, she's going to have to figure out where to be grown. That's the deal. That's what comes with being grown. I'm not going to find you the
residence.
We're
getting off topic. So I think what you're saying is you made the right decision for yourself.
I did. So I would advise you, especially if protocol is going to change based on your stepmom. I'm guessing by the voicemail that maybe you and your stepmom also don't have the best relationship. Maybe y'all are cool, but maybe your household is now sort of like whatever she does is how the house goes. So she's like, I want to quit my job. You can ask your daughter for more money. And then your dad's like, okay, well, I need more money. So there's a power dynamic there. So maybe they just want you, like, maybe you should leave that whole dynamic as a whole. So they can't really rely on you when things go poorly, because that's not a functional, stable household dynamic if the stepmom's just going to like leave her job and everybody else's role has to change. Yep. So I would move. But again, I know how expensive rent is. It's crazy out here. But I'm just saying I would move. I like to be grown.
You would take out more college loans to do it, apparently.
Literally thousands of dollars just to be grown. Anyway, thank you so much, y'all, for calling in with those voicemails. Remember, you should call 1-833-FOTW-311 if you have advice, questions for the Wildin family. The last segment of our show is called Shelfie. Hit it, man. No, not the song.
Oh.
Get on your job. All right, last segment of our show, we're going to talk about something that we recently watched, Titanic. We recently had a viewing of the Titanic because we're home for the holidays, and my brother's girlfriend shared that she's like, I didn't really watch a lot of movies growing up. I don't really like movies that much. She's like, I didn't even see Titanic. And I was like, well, we have to watch that immediately.
Yeah, back to Leo. And also, talking about Shelfie, you had to have two VHS cassettes that had to sit on a shelf. I remember that. I could watch the first one, not the second one.
Not the second one. So you had to run it back. Like, right when he slapped Rose in that scene, that is exactly where they used to switch. So you just switch them out. But I blame Leonardo and Leo Mania on the reason that I married a white dude.
Yeah.
That had to have been the first season.
Anything like Leo.
Maybe every, like, you know, Disney Prince as well was a little bit in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have Prince Naveen when I was a little girl.
And all the Ken dolls. So
all the Ken dolls.
You married me for internalized racism.
I was conditioned to marry
you. I'm an example of your internalized racism.
Leo Mania was the start.
That's fucked up.
I thought I was going to be with Leonardo DiCaprio. Would you? You wouldn't let me get on that door in the water, right?
We would both have gotten on. But this is already.
You're not getting on that door with me.
I'm getting on that door with you. So what did you notice watching it for the 35th time? Because you watched it with her.
Yes, I watched it with my brother's girlfriend, who was great. She actually really enjoyed the film. She did say comically, which I don't think she meant it as a joke, but she said she's going on a cruise for the first time this year, and she said the movie scared her to go on a cruise. She felt like it was like, she was like, this is so horrific. Like, I don't want to go on my cruise anymore. Why not? And I was like, I don't think you're going to hit an iceberg in the Caribbean.
There's lots of ways to sink a ship, though.
There are, but like, if the Titanic sank mostly because of like people freeze, like people froze to death within minutes of hitting the water. So like the big horror was the freezing cold water and the icebergs.
Well, the big horror is that all the alerts that the captain was
watching
getting
back. Yes, I did not realize how many alerts that the captain got,
and he just ignored them.
Did he ignore them, he sped the boat up. I was you idiot. You led these people to the grave.
Yeah. The other thing we notice is it's not a great thing to watch the ending scene when a mother is nursing a baby.
Yeah, she was nursing my little nephew, and then there's one scene that's like mother holding an infant frozen in the water, and I was like, this is pretty traumatic. But I definitely the film did such a good job showing the discrepancies in class. Like James Cameron brilliantly showed like those scenes were perfectly juxtaposed. Like every time you saw someone in steerage or third class, you would immediately see the opulence of like you would see Jack winning a poker hand, and then it would cut to Rose hanging up like paintings by Claude Monet. Yeah.
And they all died. Like those people died, the rich, and because there wasn't enough.
Yeah, but when you do the research, mostly poor people died. Yeah, it was like 3/4 of like steerage or like third class citizens.
Wow. No,
third class, not citizens, but
boat. You know, I know what you're saying. Yeah. The other thing, I think we've become so aware about trauma now that there's a scene where the nerd is showing the simulation of the sinking of the Titanic to old Rose. And Rose is like, well, thank you very much for that. And I think I picked up like, oh, she just was re-traumatized. And I think a filmmaker now would have maybe spent a little bit more on that team and maybe just have a really quick flash.
More on that scene?
On that scene. A very quick flash forward where they show very briefly maybe like the horror of the ship collapsing. I think like we would have shown maybe just a brief, quick snippet of like a horrific image that she would maybe be thinking about.
I also think watching it back made me a little more disillusioned to the whole Rose Leo dynamic, because I'm like, now I will admit that I wouldn't have wanted to stay engaged to a rich asshole who's obviously going to abuse me or is currently verbally and physically abusing me. But I don't know if when the ship docked, I would have started my life with a man who won a poker hand to be on this ship.
Yeah.
And has admitted to sleeping under bridges before the ship.
But he's a great artist.
He's a great artist. Yeah. We love an artist. You think I would have fell hard because of the art?
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I'm an artist, so you fell for me.
I have nothing to add. You ready to get out of here?
Yeah.
That concludes another artistic episode of Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Here's your outro music, and we will see y'all next week for the show. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, because those laughs keep you coming, because they're wildin' all the time. Before wild throws a tantrum, listen to our silly anthem, cause they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks. Wild is wildin' all the time. Fly, fly, oh, to be a fly. Fly, fly, come and be a fly on the wall. Leave.
Thank you for listening to Believe.
You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.